1.
Hello everyone, I'm Leslie Cornwell with Midwifery Business Consultation. I am very excited to have Kayleen Richards. She has a wonderful birth center in Florida, and I would love her to tell a little bit about herself and her practice.
Hi there, I'm Kayleen. I am a nurse midwife and I own a birth center in Central Florida. I actually have two locations, which is pretty awesome. I first opened a home birth practice and had an office building, and then opened one birth center in Volusia County. And then the woman who I precepted under, we ran into each other at a AABC conference, and the building that she built to be a birth center had been empty. And she said, "Kayleen, let's do this." So I opened up a second birth center in a county that's like two counties over. So Central Florida has about five counties that connect. So yeah, so currently I have two birth centers and we do home birth as well. I do have hospital privileges. However, I don't use them very often for actual birth. It's really situational.
How many midwives total work with your team?
So we have four full-time midwives that rotate between both centers. So they're on call for both centers and home birth. And there's always a second midwife on call to back.
Okay. When did you start your practice and what made you decide to start this practice?
So I knew I always wanted to own a birth center or do out of hospital birth, I should say. I read the book Spiritual Midwifery, like most of us had. And my path started pretty quickly after that. I called a local birth center over in Tampa, Florida, and was at my first birth within a week. And so I was fortunate to train under some granny midwives and get a lot of traditional midwifery down before I went to nursing school. So I was attempting a home birth with my first son and ended up transferring in and had a vaginal birth, but I really felt like God was leading me to maybe be more of an in-hospital setting. And so I applied to a direct entry program as well as the nursing program. I got into both. So I opted to do nursing school just based on my experience. And I am very grateful for that. But I love out of hospital birth. So,
yeah. And it answers my first question, which is perfect because a lot of people are just drawn towards it. I think that's very similar. I have three boys and I started out with normal before I went to nursing. So I almost got fired from doing labor and delivery because I was like, this isn't how it's supposed to be. You get this mindset of normal first and then versus the other side, you can see things in a different perspective. So I'm glad that there's more nurse midwives got that initial exposure.
Yes, for sure.
And what drew you towards doing a private practice versus joining a hospital team? Like, what was it, more the out of hospital setting or was there the business side? What was your calling?
I think I'm hard to work with, maybe. No. I worked for a birth center and loved it, but found that In the state of Florida, we have licensed midwives and nurse midwives. So we have an amazing licensed midwifery program that the state certifies. And so there's a lot of licensed midwives. There's a lot of midwives in Florida, which is awesome. But we can each do different things. So I was working with a licensed midwife's birth center, and I just found like my charts were kind of stacking up a little bit more because I was doing well woman, I was doing birth control, I was prescribing, which I love to do. But then it got to the point where I was like, you know, I can do this. And I knew that I just wanted my own thing, I think was part of it. I try and check myself often to see where my intentions is and to watch my ego. And I think that's really important that we have to have good intentions. And that birth center owner and I actually are in good terms. You know, it was nothing that was negative. And, you know, I have licensed midwives that have worked with me for, you know, trained under me, worked with me, and then went and started their own thing. So I feel like I have to walk my talk, so to speak, and support them because truly we do need more midwives. But I think it was just something where my personality partially, that I wanted to have my own thing and kind of do it my own way and kind of honor the fact that I was doing maybe more or different things than the licensed midwife.
I think that's a great way to say it, because it is. We're all, if we can look at the positive of anything, don't burn bridges, and just look at midwifery right. as a whole. Like, every midwife has their unique skills in each state, and I think if we can hybrid models together that fit your local needs, your community, who you're serving, your educational background, and if you're going to do insurance versus cash, I mean, every business is different. How did you decide to do CPMs or licensed midwives with your group versus CNMs? Was there certain things you were looking for in your model?
You know, I've had a nurse midwife and I loved it. I think in the state of Florida, unfortunately, it is a reimbursement issue. Most of the licensed midwives that are doing home birth do not accept insurance. So they're getting $6,000 to $7,000 per birth. So they can have a lower, yeah. So they have a, you know, they can do lower load, right? A lower caseload and make more money, you know? So I was paying really well for licensed midwives, but not as much as they can make at a home birth practice. So where licensed midwives are making about 60,000, nurse midwives are making over 100,000 in hospital practice. So it's just hard to compete with that. You have to find someone who really wants to do that type of midwifery. And it's exhausting, as most of us know. When you are working at a birth center, you are the nurse, you are the postpartum nurse, you're the doula, you know, so there's that aspect to it. So I do bring in a nurse midwife, nurse practitioner who does well woman gynecology days for me. So, and I pay her like an hourly rate, but for the births, I find that in having an accredited birth center where we're certifying them to intubate, to be able to do an LMA and to push medication, even though we never want to do that, there really isn't much of a difference in an out-of-hospital setting between a licensed midwife and a nurse midwife.
Okay. That makes total sense. Thank you for answering that. What have you had the biggest challenge? I know the obvious one when you're doing birth center and home birth practice is having the midwife so much on call. How are you serving all those radiuses successfully and also protecting your midwives and their burnout prevention?
You know, so we do between 20 and 30 births a month. So we are a busy birth center, and having really three locations, I think it's finding midwives that are open to do that. And I try and really address disgruntledness in an open manner and try and find solutions. I think having reimbursement, for me, honestly, the hardest part is getting the reimbursement. That really is. It's making sure that the income is coming in and following up with insurances. If you're going to take insurance, that's really having a good team for that. And that's where I personally have backed off of doing midwifery and really more running the business. I've learned kind of the hard way that no one's going to run your practice the way you do. Yeah. And so where I've had office managers and billers, I've really had to be more on top of that. And I wanted to be the ostrich and just kind of put my head in the sand and be like, I just want to catch babies, you know, to really maintain and grow. And I've had to really be the one running the practice as well.
Okay. No, I think that's a great answer. What support did you have in starting your business? Did you have someone help you do your business plan? Did you just get started? I know you had the fortunate aspect of a home birth practice and expanded, but think back to when you first were starting your practice and not growing. How did you set up that foundational planning?
So I was very fortunate in that I had a ex-in-law that had a office space, and they let me have the office space for 6 months free. And then they gave me rent at like half price for 3 months, three-fourths price for 3 months. And so it really was a building step for overhead. So I kind of started out without any overhead and having office space. I was in practice, so I was, you know, in a birth center. So I did have a few clients that followed me. And I think the biggest thing that I did is I hired a midwifery billing service, because I knew like that's something I know nothing about. So I think starting out, having someone that you know is going to help with the cash flow is important. I did not take a loan. I really did not do anything. So, you know, I had a partner who was making money, so I was fortunate that I didn't have to have a paycheck for a couple months, which was good, but I didn't have a lot of overhead. So, you know, my advice with that was you know, I reached out to some of the midwives in the community, my own midwife, who supported me and gave me some supplies and helped me out with forms and things like that. And you just kind of have to put one foot in front of the other. I see new business owners really starting out big, and I'm like, wow, that's a beautiful vision. I don't know that I could have done it like that, you know, mm-hmm. but I think that there is a strong network, especially in Florida, to be able to reach out to somebody else. Like I said, in my Central Florida radius, you know, like a 50-mile radius, there was 3 other birth centers. So I was the 4th mm-hmm. one. So, and I did have the support of another birth center that actually let me rent the facility if I had a client that wanted to be at a birth center. And I did like some free things for them. And, you know, so it was very much support from the midwifery community. I was fortunate, like I said, to have a, family member that gave me free office space in a really great location. And it worked. And again, I was seeing clients and had someone else doing the billing, majority of the billing, which was very helpful to allow me be the midwife and have my passion, you know, be able to still practice the passion that I had. And I often do say that that's kind of what has helped Tree of Life be successful, is that I really find people that are passionate about what they do and I let them do their job. Whether it's a lactation consultant, whether it's other midwives, whether it is billers, I find that finding people that have passion in about this field or about birth, motherhood, newborns really helps to have that momentum and keep the energy. Last beginning of this year, actually, we all read the Energy Bus, that book about getting on the Energy Bus and everybody having the same goals. And, you know, as the owner of a practice, you do have to be that leader and keep that energy positive and remind people of, you know, what we do is so important to the community and the people we touch.
I love it. I love every aspect of it. I think it is tough because so much of it is the numbers, but it's also the inspirational part. You're building the field of dreams and everybody's coming to it. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So with starting your practice and having your experience, what would you have done differently? If there's tips you can give start out midwives, like starting out small, getting creative with your resources worked really well for you. What things would you wish you would have known at the beginning that you know now would have really helped you out?
So I definitely think attending the How to Start a Birth Center was very beneficial. They do offer huge resources as far as setting up your protocols. They make getting accredited very easy, other than the financial component. And so everything can be manufactured or replicated very easily. So I would definitely recommend doing that. They help with setting up your fees. I personally am in network. I think starting out, not being in network could be beneficial just because you're going to get cash in hand and you'll probably get more from a cash pay client than from becoming in network with insurances. Long term, I don't know that that is feasible, especially if you have other birth centers that you're competing with, which competition's good, but if they are in network, it definitely, will have more of a pool for clients to go where they can use their in-network benefits. I definitely think starting out using a billing service that's specific to midwifery is advisable, but I think that we found that having it in-house where I could sit and talk to someone and even have our clients have a face to sit and talk with and run benefits, explain benefits and provide spreadsheets with all the billing is very beneficial. I found that, especially in a busy practice, having offsite was just extra steps to make the time to have the appointments or schedule the time to sit down and review things became more difficult versus being able to just walk in the door next door and be like, what's going on with this person? Or this person thinks they need a refund. And so that's been very beneficial. I have sent her for continuing education purposes for specific midwifery billing through the Midwifery Works conferences and things along those lines. So I think then also supporting your staff. So I make sure that my staff are taking week vacations twice a year. So I feel like that's really important. And we really talk about, you know, when you're off, you're off. And, I even reprimand them when they're on like the WhatsApp for looking at like what's happening with clients and things like that, because it, it isn't sustainable. You will burn out. You have to have a balance in life. And so, I try and do group activities. We all went shopping. So I paid for, I gave everybody $100 and we went to this little boutique and they opened it up an hour beforehand and we went shopping. We do some team building, things like that. We did the, escape room night and just trying to have fun with each other. I think that's also really important as a leader to be able to decompress and see the other side of each other. And, for me, I think it's also really important to just, like I said, ixnay the negative talking as soon as possible and really let staff know that that's not going to be acceptable, that there's solutions to things, to come to me versus or go directly to the person. You know, we're women and we're working hard and we don't get gratitude all the time. I will say in midwifery, most of our clients are so over the top grateful, but you know, it is really hard. So I think that's another aspect of starting out is just really making a strong foundation for a positive attitude and identifying when there isn't, whether it's just a personality conflict or if this person is burnt out and needs more support or time off.
Oh, I think those are awesome answers. And I hope everybody is just absorbing all your great knowledge. What do you love the most about being in private practice and running your own amazing birth center home birth practice?
I love being able to go the extra mile, you know, to do things that maybe other practices could, like when you're in a practice, you can't call the shots. It feels like I have all these like extended little fingers that, you know, I'm not doing it, but I have these four other midwives that are my eyes and ears in the community. So we can really make a difference when someone's struggling with something. I love the connection. I think that's the biggest thing is when I was in a busy practice where I would, you know, take a 24-hour call, I would walk in, deliver a baby, maybe never have met them before, probably never see them again. Yes, I still was very impactful in that I was getting them out of bed and I was letting them eat and drink or I was, you know, doing things like that. But to be able to really support birth in an out-of-hospital setting, which is the shift in the mentality to be able to say, this is normal, you're safe, address people's fears that have that personal relationship. We really look at doing fear releases with our clients and motivating them to take this birth into their own hands. They really have nothing to fear but fear itself. So I think that's just huge. You know, and like even through all this COVID, right? So being saying, yes, you can have two partners and a doula, like it's going to be okay. You know, trying to still participate in medicine, but have the realm of normalcy, I think is really, you know, special and honor the fact that we can do that. I think that's the biggest thing I would say, being able to walk with women, owning my own practice, knowing that I'm not necessarily doing it, but I have these amazing staff, other midwives that I get to support and encourage and touch more lives just by having my own birthing center, my own practice.
Well, I think it's just, it's finding everybody's sole purpose and being able to truly live it. If you're frustrated with a mission or a value or a policy or something needs to be improved, you can personalize it and fulfill your mission and branch it out. Like I think it is a lot harder when you work for somebody and some people are good and have that personality type to work for a practice. But if you really want to serve core midwifery, it's a lot easier to do with your own private practice.
100%. Absolutely.
So with practicing in Florida, what would you say the strengths and barriers to the midwifery regulations? If someone is brand new, single, and thinking, I can practice anywhere in the country, I just graduated, what would say Florida's good and Florida's something, you should maybe consider a neighboring state?
Yeah. So I think for licensed midwives, Florida's amazing. We have been licensing midwives since the early 80s. They have a lot of autonomy. And it's not like you're starting a new thing, right? So doctors know about licensed midwives. There still is strife about like that doing TOLACs and things along those lines, but it is within their scope of practice, their law to do TOLACs at home. So I think in that aspect, it is a great state for licensed midwives. For nurse midwives, they are still very much, we were one of four where we were supervised. I did actually work this year with the legislative committee, and we do have a non-supervisory clause, right? So we have a bill now that we're working on that says that nurse practitioners can be full scope practice autonomous. We're looking with midwives, with nurse midwives, they're saying that we still do have to have a, not a supervised, but we have to have a, oh my gosh, I'm going to forget what the word is, but
like a written collaboration
A letter of referral letter that we're referring to a specific hospital, and we have a doctor that we would refer to, which is, you know, one way of just them keeping their fingers in it. So we'll see. Definitely we, as of July 1st, we're starting the committee that's actually starting to see how our people are going to apply for this. So I'm excited to be involved with that. I will tell you, I work autonomously. I don't ever see my doctor. I don't ever even really call him because I use the hospitalist at the hospital, or I use maternal fetal medicine. So I've been practicing this way. So that's why I really want to be involved. And actually my preceptor, who owned the birth center for 20 years before me, is on the committee. So I'm really excited. I think that Florida is going to have a strong nurse practitioner rules and regulations for autonomy that will help nurse midwives who want to do a home birth practice or do a birth center. So we hope to see that grow. I love having licensed midwives work with nurse practitioners because I do feel like we can do more under one roof, right? They can do some things, I can do some things. And so ultimately we're offering more to the community by working together in one roof. Reimbursement's kind of crappy compared to the rest of the state. Medicaid has gone down, unfortunately, but there is reimbursement for licensed midwives. And for birth centers, there is a birth center facility reimbursement. So we do choose to offer and accept Medicaid. Not some centers don't, but I'm just really committed to being able to offer it to all women if they want it.
Do you do a certain percentage of your clientele? Like, do you limit like 10-20% Medicaid, or you just go with the whims of the highs and lows of the month?
Yep, we just do it. Okay. Yeah, we just try and budget accordingly. I mean, I'm trying to look out 3 to 4 months to see, you know, what's coming in, where we're at with things. We're fortunate right now where we're just are constantly at a number that's going to be, with even if it was all Medicaid, we could still float things. I did, 2018 was a really rough year. I did have to lay off some midwives, or a midwife, I should say. And that's when I kind of took the office management position under my control, kind of really seeing, because it was hard. I was spending the money ordering things, but I wasn't on top of what was coming in, and I take full responsibility for that. And it was just a hard year. I mean, when you look around nationally, midwives in 2018 had a hard time, and the average birth number was down. Hospitals were even having a hard time. So I do feel like birth is a national crisis, that we don't have great options. We're seeing a lot of the small hospitals closing, and the big hospitals are taking on the load. And so with that, I really do feel like birth centers need to be the ones picking up that middle ground. We need to be those centers that are accepting the low risk and then transferring to tertiary cares when, you know, when needed, when within the protocol. So I do feel like COVID has helped with that shift. So I think more than ever, now is a time to open a birth center, because people are really seeing that, you know, hospital may not be a place for normal, natural birth. So we did definitely see like a threefold increase during that outbreak of the COVID. And for us, it really was the clients that already had the doulas. They already did the work. They really wanted a natural birth. So it was just their push to come to a center. So we've had really great births. Yeah.
Well, and I think it's looking at that positive, like we can look at the negatives of COVID and the pandemic and all the terrible things are happening and not trying to downplay them at all. But I think 2020, the year of the midwife, and the opportunities that are being presented to us nationwide with legislator really pushing. I mean, in New York City, they made birth centers and apartments. And I think we have a huge opportunity if we get creative and take advantage of this opportunity given to us. And so that was part of my mission of really getting these videos out, like inspiring midwives. Birth centers, home birth practices. It's an amazing time to start one if you're ever considering it.
It is. And it really can be as simple as I have like a carry-on suitcase. Like that's what I bring to birth with my oxygen tank. Like it can be that simple. I often say I have all the same emergency equipment as they do in the hospitals. I just don't have pain medication. I can't do cesarean, but IV fluids, Pitocin, Misoprostol, LMA, intubation, oxygen, we really do have all those things, but by facilitating and really supporting natural birth, prevent the need for it.
Yeah. Yeah. When it's amazing how simple things are. I laugh because as I started as a new midwife doing out of hospital, I carried so many things. We called it my Goliath bag. And then as time went on and on, you see the senior wisdom midwives that carry less and less. Like you realize when you're not doing these things, you're taking low risk, healthy women. Yes, you want the emergency equipment, but how simple it can be if you have the proper resources and templates in place.
And that's where like I am committed to having students, you know, because I do feel like it is a tradition. There is an aspect of it, not only just the energy and the belief that we pass on, but then seeing those little tricks of the trade as well. Just like little things like essential oils that we use peppermint in the toilet to help them pee. And like, you know, so there is a traditional aspect with it. And so that's another thing that I do love about the midwifery model of the education, that there is that preceptorship. And so, you know, I have seen less hospitals being willing to do this, which again, for me, I see as a positive. Like, okay, well, come to the birth center. You know, you're going to get your hours quick. You may not get your births as much, but because it is time intensive, but you're really going to see births.
I know it's not one of the questions on the list, but I would love you to branch into more. How did you decide? Have you had students from the beginning? Like, how often do you have a student? I know it's so important for midwives to get involved in government and get involved in passing on our knowledge to the next generation. How did you implement that into your private practice?
I did start out with a student right away, Audrey Luck. She's amazing. She's a licensed midwife over in Sarasota. It was a licensed midwifery. Part of it was free labor, you know, so I looked at it as that. And I've just always been committed to education. So I just believe in that process. Generally, we have there's four midwives. So generally we have like two licensed midwives and a nurse midwife, a nurse practitioner student. Sometimes it is a nurse midwife. Sometimes it's a family nurse practitioner or a general, family nurse practitioner student that I have. So they're just kind of getting their hours, but I think they may never do OBGYN, but I think it is important for them to see normal. The licensed midwives in the state of Florida, it's a 3-year program. So they come to us in the second trimester. So they're really with us for two and a half years. And so it's an investment for sure. And I will turn some people away after so long. There has been some that I said, if you can't be up and then do clinic, like this may not be for you. There are certain components to this if you're wanting to be this type of midwife. Now, if you go be a nurse midwife, there's more of a shift, you know, you can clock in, clock out more, but truly with more of an out of hospital practice, there isn't as much of that clocking out. I've been doing this for 15 years. I just recently stopped taking call as much. I'm more like second call. And again, I think that having that passion, but then also using a practice that I could really clock out, you know, when I was off call was really important. But going back to students, sorry, I digressed a little bit there.
No, it's all good.
I do think it is important to take on students, and it makes me, you know, disheartened where I see less and less. I have organizers or preceptors from Frontier, which is where I graduated from, that are, you know, I just got an email like desperate, like they cannot find locations. And I just think, gosh, how it's just been one obstacle sometimes after another. It can feel like that. But I think, and another aspect of me says, well, if they can get birth center at the get-go, you can learn how to put an IUPC in, and you know, if you've had labor and delivery experience, how to read a monitor, you know. But yeah. Now let's really sit with a woman for 20 hours of PrimeP and really rotate a baby from OP to LOA, and, you know, use some of those midwifery skills that sometimes in a hospital setting, because you are so busy, you have six women on the monitor, you're not doing some of the traditional stuff. Still very important, you know, you're monitoring insulin pumps and magnesium pumps, like, you know, it's just a difference. But
the high risk women versus the low risk women and right. labor support. It's a lost art, especially in the hospital setting. And I'm very passionate about students as well. And if we can create a business model that creates a win-win, where you can now, like you said, the free labor, the resources, the knowledge, they're going to keep the skills and research up with your team. If you can find all the benefits and implement it into your business plan, I think it's so many people look at it as like, I've got enough, I'm busy enough, I don't need a student to try to teach. Like, if you can look at it in a different direction, all the benefits the student will give you.
Yeah, I you know, I always say for the first month, sit in the corner, do not say anything, just sit and listen. And I'm, you know, and then I'll put them in the lab and they're just like drawing labs for me. Like, that's it, just draw blood, you know. So I think that's the nice thing about having licensed midwife, nurse midwives, you know, they're going to come in with a set of skills already. So, but that is the benefit with licensed midwives. I mean, sometimes I can put them at the front and just like answer phones, you know, like this is a huge knowledge set for them though. I mean, there is so much knowledge in just that. So there's a trust that develops. And I say it's the same thing with midwifery relationships. You know, the client learns to trust us, we learn to trust them. And that needs to happen with the student as well. And even some at birth, like all they're doing is cleaning. And I say, if you can't clean a toilet well, then I'm not letting you repair a vagina. Like, there's, you know, this is there's you learning. Different. Yeah. So it's really to start out with, I don't think there's any risk for a practice to take on a student. And if it's not working out, I think it's important just to be honest then. And when you get a good student, oh my gosh, it can just turn your practice around. Like, we learn from them. So yeah.
Well, and like you had said, there's so many things. When I remember going from labor and delivery in my first out of hospital clinicals, I'm used to, oh, I take it housekeeping, I just throw that away. You get something bloody and messy, you are it, like the one-stop shop. Like, you don't, there's so many skills. Like, if you truly want to do out of hospital, it's nice to know you're conscientious of your resources, your supplies, your tools, your skills and services around you, because they're more valuable. So it's just yep. interesting. It's a different perspective for sure. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about, Kayleen? That'd be great tips. I have learned so much from you. Thank you for coming on today. Anything else, advice, tips for aspiring midwives that have been practicing or struggling with their private practices, anything? I know positivity and creativity are huge for both of us.
I would just also really encourage midwives to reach out to the hospitals. I think being transparent is really important. A lot of times I feel like we tuck our tails or we kind of shy away from that because we're going against what they're doing. But I really feel like we have to hold our head up high and be proud of what we're doing and know that our protocols are within our practice and share those. And so we're working, you know, a lot of times we have issues with the doctors, right? But they're practicing inside the hospital, so they're in their house. So really going to your chief nursing officers and talking with them and explaining what you're doing, how you like to work with the hospital, support the hospital. Like, we're not anti-hospital. We love hospitals when we need them. And branching out, you'd be surprised that can actually really help your practice. We get referrals from local OBGYNs now all the time when they hear like client, what they want a water birth, they go to Tree of Life, you know? So I think it is important to educate the community, and starting out with the doctors and hospitals will actually really make your life a lot easier in the long run. I think that it's important to try and do publicity. So we've reached out to local TV stations on a regular basis just to get our names out there. It can be daunting and exhausting. And so trying to find some of your clients that have connections, you know, so Facebook has been a huge, social media has been a huge tool for us in kind of finding things that we need and finding people that have that motivation or desire after birth change their lives, that they then become our social media person or our connection to get
leads on publicity when it's, you know, National Midwifery Week, or there's different things that are happening in the community that we want to try and get some good publicity for. Like when we added nitrous, we got a thing on a local TV station for that. So just little things like that, trying to make midwifery more visible, especially as nurse midwives. You know, we're underneath that doctor, where our names sometimes aren't on the birth certificate. We kind of come and go. I think it's really important that even if you're in a practice, that you're trying to be visible.
Well, and I like the advice of not being the expert in everything. Get creative. Like, that's how burnout happens. If you know the experts for billing from the beginning and you've got past clients that are advocates as far as they want to help you and they have a unique skill for marketing or resources or affiliations, those relationships you're building can have a momentum effect for your branding and your utilization of resources. So I love that advice.
We're part of the medical community. I think, you know, sometimes midwives, we want to say we're not the medical community, we're the opposite, but we really are. We provide a medical service that has a spiritual component and is very holistic, but we want to be a part of that. We don't want to separate ourselves from it.
No, I agree wholeheartedly with you. So thank you so much, Kayleen, for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Are you okay with anybody, if they have simple questions for you, sending an email to your practice, the Tree of Life? Is it the website is directly treeoflife.com or?
Yeah, you can actually send it to me though. It's KayleenR@gmail. So okay, it's my perfect. First name, last initial, KayleenR@gmail. But then on our website too, if there's a link that you can click to ask any questions, and that comes directly to me as well.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time, Kayleen, and you have a great rest of your day.
You too. Thank you.